This is a podcast recorded at CB Expo, Cannabis Business Expo and Conference, on September 16, 2023 in Dortmund, Germany. At the education stage, Dr. Bernd Wurs presented the following topic: Cannabis as Medicine, Self-Medication and Stigmatization. Language, German. Enjoy your podcast listening.
Thanks to the organizers that they invited me to present a little bit of our research on people who use medical cannabis, but not in a regulated manner. I was asked to do this presentation, in the first place I was asked to do it in German, but then it somehow switched over to English, although now in the program it's still mentioned in German. So, if you have any questions, you can also do it in German after this presentation. I will try to hurry up a little bit, and normally it wouldn't last half an hour. Roughly get back in time. So what we did is researching people who use medical cannabis without prescription, or there are also some people who did it with prescription, but at the beginning, a few words about the background regarding medical cannabis in Germany, for all those who are not very familiar with that. So it started in early 2000, so in the noughties, that several hundred German patients, or in the end, it were several hundred German patients who received special allowances for medical cannabis, or for medical cannabis flowers. A little bit earlier, they already had pure THC, but this were the first patients who received legal allowances for that, but generally it was still outlawed. There was no law allowing to have herbal cannabis for medical purposes. And then there were even some people who received special allowances to grow it themselves. And many people say this was the main spark for the German government to issue a law about medical cannabis, because they didn't want to have more and more people grow the cannabis themselves to use it for medical purposes. So this law in 2017 said that every medical, or theoretically every medical practitioner, can prescribe cannabis. I will close the door here. I think it makes it easier. Special feature is that funding by the health insurance should be the rule and not the exception, but only for certain conditions. So there were other conditions where the medical the health insurances wouldn't pay for it, and so still many doctors refused to prescribe cannabis. Many of them were afraid of recourse payments when they prescribe higher amounts, and then they will get letters from the health insurance, and other patients fail to get funding from their health insurance as well. Generally, there's still a lot of concern among practitioners about medical cannabis, even with regard to people who pay by themselves. So, which should be the exception. So, this is one problem of this law, that it usually doesn't that people shouldn't get private prescriptions and pay for themselves. But it sparked a new industry of commercial medical companies now giving out private prescriptions after paid online consultations. And I'm not sure about it. So the study that we did is some years ago. I think the whole field has changed because of these companies where you can just pay for online consultations and then get a private prescription and pay for your own cannabis. We should do a study study about this. I don't know if any or I don't know about any research which has been done on this relatively new phenomenon. So what I will present now is a little bit outdated because it gets back to the situation after the law has been implemented. Yeah, and but what has also changed since the law was implemented is that other medical cannabis companies, apart from Bedrocan from the Netherlands, who were the in the first place the only ones who were delivering the German market, entered the market now, and this resulted in decreasing prices. And if you are lucky, if you live in the right region, you can get your medical cannabis even cheaper than it will cost on the illicit market. So a little bit more background about this study now, or what's the frame of the study, medical cannabis in Frankfurt. So after the city of Frankfurt received reports on difficulties to receive medical cannabis, they started an initiative to improve the situation on the local level in 2018, which is a good thing. So there are people in the local government who are really concerned about this medical cannabis issue. So this included counseling for patients or for potential patients, information for medical staff, and also surveys among medical staff. This is what colleagues from Hamburg did, and what we did, the Center for Drug Research at the Goethe University, where social scientific research office at the university. We took the part of researching the clandestine part of the field, those who still use cannabis for medical purposes, but without a regular prescription. Or at least if they had a prescription, they don't get it paid for by the health insurance. And so we did two surveys on this issue, the first one being an online survey, quantitative one, and the second one, some qualitative interviews. And so a few words about the methods that we used. In this online survey, we had a target population of people of at least 18 years who have experience in medical cannabis use but no prescription with health insurance funding. In the end, we had 774 participants, and since it was funded by the city of Frankfurt, they were mainly interested in patients from Frankfurt, and we also managed to get exactly 100 people who live in Frankfurt who answered this survey. The main questions were about symptoms, diagnosis, patterns of use, experience with prescription practice, legal issues, and also with the medical system in general. This quantitative survey took place in late 2019, so roughly 2 years after the law was implemented. But before we did these qualitative interviews, approximately 1 year before, in end 2018, with a slightly different criterion, persons who obtain cannabis on the black market for medical reasons, so no matter if they have a prescription or not. And we did 31 guideline-based interviews with biographical approach, and which was a difference to the online survey that we had was that we had more women. So in the online survey, I think it was about 80% men or something. We had almost the half of them were female, and the most frequently reported symptoms were. The first one, or clearly number one, was pain, either chronic pain or pain that appears from time to time, followed by ADHD or also ADD without the hyperactive part, sleep disorders, depression, and many other single symptoms that were sometimes also combined or often combined together. So it was actually a majority of the sample who had several symptoms that they treated with cannabis, and almost all have a diagnosis for it. And some have long histories of interrelated conditions. So one typical example would be people with ADHD, so with hyperactivity and concentration problems, and because of that they had many accidents and many injuries and resulting in chronic pain. So that it was not only the concentration problems that they treated with cannabis, but also their pain symptoms. Most respondents have first tried cannabis in the form of recreational use, and this was also quite interesting. There was few people who said, well, they haven't been into cannabis at all before, but when they got older and these symptoms became clearer, they got interest for it, and then they tried it. But most people had tried it in the when they were young and trying out recreational cannabis. Regarding prescriptions on the one hand and the black market on the other hand, just under half have applied for a prescription, of which eight, so a little bit half of this half, have received one. And since all of these people didn't get it funded by their health insurance, they supplied themselves via the black market. So they had a prescription, but they weren't able to buy it at that time because it was too expensive, more than 20 euros a gram. And so they supplied themselves still via the black market. Some got their prescription or the cost coverage refused because of complex reasons. Sometimes they were hardly comprehensible. So some doctors said, well, you're just not sick enough to receive legal cannabis or to receive funding for that. But there were also a significant part of the respondents who said that did not even try because they said, I know that I would have to pay them for myself. There were also others who saw no need because of the small quantities they consume. And this was also a split among this whole group of respondents. There were quite many who really need high doses and who need 1 gram or several grams a day to get a normal life. But there was also a significant part who said they only need a relatively small amounts from time to time, and so they didn't see any need to do the complicated way to get to a doctor and try to get a prescription, and so they still got it from the black market. Practically all subjects would welcome a full legalization of their consumption. This is no surprise. And in some cases, they had really negative experiences with medical staff, particularly with doctors. And so some quotations from the interviews. One younger respondent said, I actually have 4 chronic diseases that justify an exemption for cannabis, but I can't find a doctor in Frankfurt. So I phoned around 10 and all of them refused to give them... Or to even talk about prescribing cannabis. Another one said, the doctor got really angry and said, all the time cannabis addicts come to me and want a prescription, but I'm absolutely against it. I won't prescribe drugs. And then she chased me out of the practice. And so this is an extreme case, but there are not very few doctors that really acted like this, so that they are just associate cannabis only with drugs, only with the recreational purposes, and don't accept that it has medical properties. An older respondent said, then came a young doctor, and I actually thought, okay, he could be open-minded for that. And he told me, Mr. Meyer, no, we don't do that as a matter of principle. If you just want to get high to cope with ADHD, leave us alone with that. sorry, but I was just stunned at that point. So this was also a typical reaction of this doctor. Some words about the relationship between recreational purposes and medical purposes among these persons. A majority also uses cannabis for recreational reasons. Psychoactive effects are sometimes a welcome side effect, even when respondents clearly have medical motives. So, for instance, relaxing effects, this is a good example which makes it difficult to separate between medical and recreational use, as they can also be helpful for certain medical conditions. So, for instance, people who have chronic pain and in the evening they want to get down a little bit and they want to relax, and that it helps them not necessarily to cure or to cope with their pain, but to get to sleep and then oversleep their pain or something like that. Others experience virtually no psychoactive effects, particularly those who have a certain amount that they use each day, like 1 gram or more. And particularly for the ADHD patients, it was relevant. Some differentiate on the basis of the form of consumption. So, for instance, there were people who used different dosages when they use it for medical purposes than for recreational purposes. Or they usually, when they do it medically, they vape. They use a vaporizer just for small amounts over the day. And when they want to get high, they still roll a joint. So a few words about one graph here from the quantitative online survey. Regarding the effort to use specific sources of supply. Okay, these are data from 2019, but it's 2 years after the law was implemented, and I think that's quite interesting. The people were asked, which effort do you have to invest to get a prescription, to do home growing, or to get cannabis from the black market? And it's clearly here that most of the people said they will have to invest a very high effort to get a prescription and relatively low effort to get it from the black market. And so this might be one reason why there are still many people who don't even try to get a prescription. Because it's not necessarily that it is as complicated as they think, but they still think that it's as complicated. And so some back to the qualitative data. I think that's the core point of my presentation regarding stigma and criminalization. What's quite interesting is that these were particularly older respondents who often have long experiences in stigmatization, sometimes complex histories of use and stigma and also medical conditions, and including experiences with medical staff. So one very interesting and also quite tragic example was a woman, 47-year-old woman that I interviewed. She always had concentration problems and other mental conditions starting from their early days of adolescence. She was one of those who said she also had many injuries due to her lack of concentration. And for decades, she was a daily cannabis user, but she always felt guilty because of this. Because there are many people who said, "Well, you're an addict. You have problems with your use." She did various attempts of detoxification. She went to a hospital to get off from her daily cannabis use. She developed other mental health issues as well. And then very late, in their late 40s, she got a diagnosis of of this attention deficit disorder, not really hyperactive, but that she has these actually has this these concentration problems. But it was still that she didn't get a prescription because it was really complicated. Because this, she said that. When she wanted to have a prescription for cannabis, people or the doctors told her she first has to get off her cannabis habit, and then she will get a treatment for her mental conditions, and then she might have a chance to get a prescription also for cannabis, which is quite. Paradox, and so she was really not a very good condition, and I hope that now she would have progressed in her efforts to get it prescribed. Interviewees had experiences with criminal prosecution as well, in some cases very drastic ones, like people who grow themselves and then they got raided by the police and got arrested. Some also had negative influences on their biographies, that they got charges for that. It was also a big problem, particularly for the people who were into using and growing for many years. Younger people, on the opposite, tend to have fewer problems with stigma and also with this kind of self-stigmatization, because these older people often heard from other people, "Well, you have a problem," and it was not so very relevant for people who were below 30. So, a few points about the discussion. There's a significant number of people with severe medical conditions who self-medicate with cannabis. I mean, the situation has changed now because of the possibility to pay for getting a private prescription. But I'm quite sure that there still are, particularly among these older people, there still are people who had such bad experiences with stigma and with also negative stances by people from the medical system that they still don't try to get a prescription. Prejudices of medical professionals are among the most important obstacles, often contributing to the fact that people don't even try to get it, to get off their illegal supply. Prohibition and stigma have a negative influence of the health and social situation of many people who self-medicate. So there were definitely many people who had these medical conditions, and they were severely worsened by the stigma that they experienced from people who won't prescribe them cannabis or who won't give them funding for that. Again, there's a limitation. The interviews were conducted in end 2018, and the situation has changed. But in any case, the planned general legalization of up to 25 grams will also improve the situation of these clearly medical users who still self-medicate with illicit stuff. And even more for what we called mixed-purpose users, so people who have medical and recreational reasons to use. However, there's still a lot of potential for better medical supply, and this is what we all hope for also regarding the development of the new laws here in Germany. Okay, thank you very much. If you have any questions, I think to get a little bit more back to the schedule, you can just ask them privately. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can find more podcasts on our channel, and we look forward to welcoming you to one of our upcoming events. All dates are available at cb-net.com.